There's only one thing that can radically transform a man's behavior, and that is he must have imparted to him a new nature, and that new nature comes when he experiences salvation.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is a message worth suffering for. There in verse 8, the attitude of the Christian messenger toward this message which he should be willing to suffer for. The attitude of the Christian messenger should be threefold. One, he should not be ashamed of three things. He should not be ashamed of Christ's person. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, verse 8. Then he should not be ashamed of Christ's people, nor of me his prisoner. And thirdly, he should not be ashamed of Christ's proclamation, nor of the gospel. Instead of being ashamed of that, be willing to bear your share of suffering for it, he says. The attitude of the Christian messenger, verse 8. Be not ashamed of Christ's person, people, or proclamation. But now the attributes of the Christian message. And there are several characteristics of this great message we call the gospel presented in this passage that reveal the unutterable value of the gospel. And these are designed to be a motivation to Timothy, who's natively fearful and would be inwardly motivated in terms of his own native attitudes and appetites to set aside the message of the gospel because affliction is attached to the gospel, the scripture says. And so Paul wants Timothy to understand the unutterable, extraordinary value of the gospel. And he lays out here for us several characteristics of this great message. Perhaps you would want to notice them with me here in verses 9 and 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. What kind of a message is the message of the gospel? Paul says, first of all, it is a message of power. In fact, the last phrase of verse 8 seems to imply that. He says there in verse 8 that we should be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The gospel message is first and foremost a message of power. That's why Paul says in one of his other writings, his earlier writings, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is a message of power. And Paul is saying to Timothy that any suffering which the gospel causes is to be born in the power which the gospel provides. Now this word power is that very familiar word that I've touched on so many times because it keeps coming up in so many places in the pages of Scripture. I won't spend a lot of time on it except to say that it's that very familiar word dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from it. And it always has those three very important connotations attached to it, which I've mentioned in other messages. It always describes extraordinary power, not just ordinary power, extraordinary power. It always describes efficient power, not power at random, but power which gets the job done very efficiently. And it always describes evident power. It's something which any man can recognize if he'll open his eyes. When the gospel does its work, it liberates great power in the lives of those who respond to it. Now, to the ancient world, the gospel was a very needful message, as it is in our modern world. To the ancient world, the gospel was the power to live. The real question that the philosophers ought to be asking is not, is there life after death? The real question they ought to be asking is there life after birth? There are all kinds of lives in our culture that are disintegrating. They need some impetus. They need some power from God. They need some help. And that power is to be found, the scripture says, in the message of the gospel. In the ancient world and in the modern world, the gospel was the power to live. You know, that very age in which Paul was writing, the first century, in that Greco-Roman world, that very age in which Paul was writing, has been called by many scholars the great age of suicide, the taking and the extinguishing of our own lives. The most principled thinkers thought in these models. The most principled thinkers of the ancient world were the Stoics. They're mentioned in the Bible, Acts the 17th chapter. Paul contended with the Stoics and others in Athens. They had their own way out of life when it became intolerable. The Stoics had a saying, and this was one of their sayings, God gave men life, the Stoics said, but God gave men the still greater gift of being able to take their own lives. That was the philosophic thinking of the day and age in which Paul brought this message. That to me is an absolutely astonishing statement. God gave to men the gift of life, but God gave to men the even greater gift of the ability to take their own lives. That was a revelation of the impotence of the Stoic philosophy, the impotence of philosophy to meet a man's needs. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a clear contradiction of that kind of reasoning. In the gospel is the power to live and to have meaningful life. In the gospel is the power to conquer self, the power to master circumstances instead of becoming the victims of circumstances. In the gospel is the power to go on living when life seems unbearable and unlivable. It is the power to be a Christian when being a Christian seems impossible. The message of the gospel is first and foremost a message of great power. It can make you alive. It helps you to conquer the impotence that is native to your nature. Now, the gospel is not only a message of power. The gospel is secondly, if you notice there in verse 9, it's a message of salvation. He says, he speaks of the God who hath saved us. The gospel, he's analyzing the message of the gospel in these verses. He's telling us it is a message worth suffering for. And he's saying, here are the attributes of this message. These are the reasons why this message is worth suffering for. One, it is a message of power. Two, it is a message of salvation. He hath saved us. God is the God who saves us, notwithstanding the modern secularists or the modern humanists who are telling us, no, God will save us. We must save ourselves. God is the God who saves us. And the gospel is a message of rescue. That's a very precious word. The word for power is dunamis. The word for saved or salvation is soteria. And it is a very special word in the Greek New Testament. It describes that which saves a man from all that would ruin his soul in this life and in the life to come. And we're taught in the Bible that if a man does not have this salvation, if he has not by faith responded to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and received the only one who can impart to him this salvation. If a man does not have this salvation, he will fall subject, one, to temporal destruction, and two, to eternal destruction. Without this salvation, a man faces temporal destruction because of the effect of sin upon his behavior. Our servitude to sin warps our behavioral pattern, and it produces in human relationships disharmony and discord and grief. The Bible would have us to know that sin lies at the very root of our ego, and it corrupts our behavior, and that destroys our temporal existence, our here and now existence. It warps all that God intended. It brings discord. It brings disharmony. It brings conflict. It brings grief. We have this natural tendency because of this infection at the very root of our personality, the very root of our ego and our being. Because of this infection of sin, we have this natural tendency to be charitable to ourselves and critical of others. We have this natural tendency to minimize our vices and emphasize another man's vices. We have this natural tendency to accentuate our virtues and minimize theirs. And that produces warps, it produces discord, it produces disharmony, it produces conflict and grief. And there's only one thing that'll save a man from that. There's only one thing that can radically transform a man's behavior, and that is he must have imparted to him a new nature. And that new nature comes when he experiences salvation. And the gospel is a message of salvation. It's a message that transforms a life. But not only does salvation deliver a man from temporal destruction, but it also delivers a man from eternal destruction. Because sin has an effect not only upon my behavior here and now, but it has an effect upon my eternal destiny with respect to the hereafter. And this is the ultimate destruction. This is what the scripture refers to as hell. This is Gehenna in the ancient world. Outside the city wall of Jerusalem, there was what was called the Valley of Hinnom. In fact, in Aramaic, it was called Gehinnom. And this is just Gehenna. Hell is sort of a transliteration of that word and of that concept. It was a literal valley outside the city wall of Jerusalem. And it was a garbage dump. It had an infamous history. In Old Testament history, altars to pagan gods had been erected in the Valley of Hinnom. Children and infants had been sacrificed on the molten arms of these images to these pagan gods in the history of Israel. It was an infamous valley. In Jesus' day, it was a garbage dump. And there were fires that were kept burning there constantly to dissipate the odor of this garbage and to consume this refuse. Jesus said, "You are familiar with Gehenna. You are acquainted with the Valley of Hinnom, the garbage dump outside the city wall of Jerusalem where the fires burn continuously to dissipate the odors and to consume the refuse." He says, "I want you to know there is an eternal Gehenna. There is a garbage dump of an eternal nature into which is deposited the moral refuse of the universe. And all that you have to do to qualify to be this moral refuse, which will terminate in Gehenna, all that you have to do is to refuse to respond humbly to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your own Lord and Savior." But the Bible says that in the gospel, there is a message of salvation. And when you respond to that message, you are saved, you are delivered, not only from temporal destruction, the effect of sin upon your behavior, but you are saved from eternal destruction, the effect of sin upon your destiny. So the salvation that is conveyed through the gospel is that which liberates a man from the things which have him in their grip. There may be some things that have you in their grip this morning. Salvation can liberate you from that. The effect of salvation is that it enables a man to progressively break with the habits which before were unbreakable. It is a rescuing force which can take a godless man and make him into a godly man. It is the influence which makes a man fit to stand before a holy God, both in time and in eternity. That's the kind of message that the gospel is. It's not only a message of power, it's also a message of salvation.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
His substitutionary death, his substantiating resurrection. That's what the message of the gospel is all about. The person and the work of Jesus Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.